This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
From the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Mike DeFabo. He covers the Penguins and he joins us. Mike, good morning to you. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Posted up here in the hotel with my dog Zeke. Ready to talk some hockey.
Oh, wonderful. Zeke in the hotel, in the dog tell. How's mom? Are we always check in to see how your grandmother's doing? Mom doing okay?
You know, I gave her a call this morning to get some of her takes, and I asked her about, she's someone who gets riled up about the physical play and when people are taking liberties with the Penguins star players. And I said, so what did you think when Tom Wilson, of all people, was the guy that sent it to overtime? And she said, well, you know he's not my favorite. And that's about as far as she'll go in terms of criticizing someone personally, saying, well, you know he's not my favorite. So she was none too pleased that the Penguins gave away 1 point and to Tom Wilson, of all people, as well.
Oh, so that's a bleep. That's like a mum-mum bleep, pretty much.
Yes.
I mean, that's as far. Yeah. It's like a swear word for mum-mum, not my favorite, right?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, well, you know he's not my favorite.
Gotcha. All right, Chris, what do you got?
Well, I look at the way they bounced back in overtime last night, Mike, and I'm left watching a team now that can skate circles around the Capitals, because they can, that can show the discipline necessary to split a pair with Boston, and then also showed during the regular season that they can show that same discipline and skate and play strong on the puck against the Islanders. Is there any way they're not the best team in the division right now?
Well, I think that there is a way that they're not the best team in the division, because there's just so much parity in this division. But, you know, for all the reasons you detailed, I think you're absolutely right that they've got as good of a chance as anybody, for sure. And, you know, I was thinking the same thing you were, where the Penguins can go and win a 1-0 hockey game, where they can take a team that they were the NHL's best defensive team in March and then show that once again and kind of match styles against a team like Boston. You know, they really, like, look Boston in the eye and beat them at their own game, this defensive-minded game. Then they could turn around and a team like the Washington Capitals, who is among the league's leaders in terms of goals per game, one of the highest-scoring teams, especially when they've got all the firepower in their lineup, and then a Penguins team that doesn't have a star like Evgeny Malkin, they could still produce enough points and enough goals and to keep pace with them. So, absolutely, I think that's what's interesting about this team going forward is you need to beat four different teams playing four different styles of hockey in order to win the Stanley Cup. And the Penguins seemingly can find different kinds of ways to win depending on the opponent.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yep. All right. No, sorry.
You there, Jim?
I am here, yeah. Yeah, who knew?
Oh, okay.
Mike, it wasn't that long ago that I know people were talking about Crosby as a potential Selke Award guy. But lately, that line, and Gensel and Russ, I always thought that their defensive abilities were underrated as well. Lately, they've become kind of a liability, haven't they? Is there any cause for concern there?
Yeah, I don't know if I'll go so far as to say a liability, but there have been some bad moments for sure, Jim. I get where you're going with that. I have to think that they'll put it together, though, because you know Brian Rust was a guy who, when he came up, he was just an energy guy, a defensive guy, a speed guy. And he's since added the offense to make himself a top-line player. And then Jake Gensel, I think that just, you know, some of his scoring ability overshadows some of his scoring. So they have had their rough moments, don't get me wrong, here recently. And especially, you know, they were kind of nullified by that Bergeron line the last series. And now this one, you know, kind of similar results here. But you know, I do believe that they'll probably turn things around and get it straightened out.
Mike DeFabo joining us here, Fan Hotline, brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall and Capitis. To get away from last night a little bit and go back a little further, is Boston undeniably the toughest matchup for the Pittsburgh Penguins that they could potentially see? And what is that kryptonite with the top line that Boston just always throws at the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Yeah, I believe that Boston is the team that the Penguins would least want to play in the playoffs. And you could just look at the way the season series unfolded. They played each of these teams eight times, once they play the Washington Capitals tomorrow night. And the only team that they'll finish with a losing record against is the Boston Bruins. And, you know, I think it's a couple things. I think that actually really the biggest thing to me is that Boston is better than its record shows. You know, they had 100 points last year. They were the only team in the league to get to 100 points in the shortened season. They've got the reigning coach of the year behind the bench. They've got the elite top line. You know, they were the Vegas favorite coming in to win the division. It was just that they went through these injuries, you know, specifically to Tuukka Rask, and then they kind of hit a lull where if that top line wasn't scoring, they struggled to score. But now what I think is interesting is, like, this team that was really a one-line team, they brought in a guy in Taylor Hall who's been, you know, very inconsistent recently, but he's a former Hart Trophy winner still. You know, he still has that piece of hardware. He still has that trophy somewhere. I don't know where he keeps it, what kind of trophy case he's got. So, you know, they've really fortified something that was an area of weakness for that team. And as you're mentioning, you know, it's almost like the top lines cancel each other out, and then we'll see how, like, the bottom nine determines the game. And obviously having Evgeny Malkin back and healthy will go a long way towards that. But it's just something about Boston, their combination of – they just play so smart. You know, I'll put it this way. The top line, they call it the perfection line because you have to play perfect against Patrice Bergeron, they say, in order to get your scoring chances and to get goals. And that's kind of what it is with just Bruins in general. You almost have to play a perfect game to beat them. The Penguins did that one of the two games, not so much the second time.
Mike DeFabo, Pens Insider of the Post-Gazette, with us here on the Fan Morning Show. You mentioned Gino coming back. Is he back in the lineup tonight? And when he is back in the lineup, is he immediately right back on the top power play unit, Mike?
Yeah, I think he's close. You know, I'd expect to see him this trip, whether they want to throw him in the lineup tomorrow or maybe save him going forward. I'm not so sure. He does appear like he's close, very close at this point. In terms of the top power play, I guess there's two questions. You know, it's will he be on the top power play and should he be on the top power play? Will he be? I think he probably will. You know, he was practicing on the second unit, but he was practicing in, like, the Jared McCann position, meaning he was on that left flank. Now, some of this is they're interchangeable and they do move around in trade positions, so they'll be in different spots. But I felt like that was telling. Now, should he be on the top power play? I would not do it. You know, I mean, I look at it this way. What's one of the biggest reasons why the Penguins flamed out of the postseason in four games? The power play and the failures there. You know, Jim Rutherford in the days afterwards, after they lost to Montreal, that was one of the very first things he pointed to. You know, Mark Recchi, a trusted friend of Mike Sullivan and a respected former Penguin, lost his job because the power play was such a failure. They brought in Todd Reardon, and to February 11th, they were just 24th in the league in terms of power play. So it wasn't like things were working. They had changed things up. They had changed personnel. And then they put Jared McCann on there, and suddenly it's like they find this instant spark. And, you know, since March 25th, they've scored 14 power play goals. Six of those are directly from Jared McCann's stick. And he's been on the power play less than half of what guys like Crosby and like Jake Guentzel and like Chris Letang have. Yet he leads the team with seven power play goals. So he's scoring, and then I just think that his threat, his shoot-first mentality, is such a threat no matter where he is on the ice that it changes the dynamic there where other teams have to respect that shot. So, you know, it's not like you have to write this in Sharpie and send it to Gary Bettman, and he's going to open it up and say, okay, and the Penguins' power play is, and names off who these guys are. Why not just roll with what's working? And if you feel like you go into a wall and you need a spark, well, guess what? You've got Evgeny Malkin to help provide that. So that's what I would do personally. I just feel like, and also, what kind of message does it send to the team if you've got a guy like Jared McCann who steps into an opportunity, makes the absolute most of it, leads the team in power play goals over that stretch, And then a star comes back, and you just say, like, okay, you have to shift to the side because we have Evgeny Malkin. What kind of message does that send to guys further down the lineup who are fighting for roster spots? I don't know. I just don't see how you can move Jared McCann off the top power play right now.
And Mike, plus a lot of teams wouldn't mind having a power play unit, a first power play that had Malkin, Kasperi Kapanen, and Jeff Carter on it. Which is another reason for me to put him on the second unit. But another issue, and I don't think I ever would have thought, man, if Evan Rodriguez is out for a long time, that's not going to be good. And yet Rodriguez to me has been a really understated, valuable member of this team. And I know Freddie Gaudreau will probably step in when everybody's healthy if Rodriguez can't play. But that's too bad for him because he had really found a nice spot with his team.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. You know, his recent career has followed an interesting trajectory where he was a healthy scratch in the bubble for the Penguins. You know, he was kind of new to the Penguins at that point, and they didn't exactly know where he fit. But this year he's proven that where he fits is basically wherever they need him. He's the all-time Swiss Army knife where, you know, in a very bad moment of need, they moved him up to the Crosby line with some mixed results. You know, I'll admit that part of it. I don't think that he was quite as good as he could have been. But, you know, I mean, he has the ability to play center. He could play both wings. He could play penalty kill. He could play on the power play. So he could just contribute in a lot of different areas. And he's not a star, but he's a role player. And that's what you need to get to where you want to go in this league. And so, yeah, definitely. I mean, I was shocked that he came back out onto the bench at all. Like, the way that he went down and crumpled to the ice, to help him off, I was thinking this guy broke a bone or something like that. But he did come back and stepped onto the ice and immediately was like, nope, not happening. So we'll kind of have to monitor that situation. But losing a versatile piece like that who can plug so many different holes, I think that's the biggest thing that you miss if he's not going to be in the lineup.
All right, lastly for you, Mike DeFabo, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Everybody in Pittsburgh, you could stop in Market Square. This is one of those noon news perfect sort of things, man on the street. Everybody in Western Pennsylvania will be asked this at some point today. My mom included, the guy just going to get a fish sandwich in Market Square, some iron worker up on a big beam somewhere. What are your thoughts on Najee Harris and the Steelers taking him in the first round?
I like it. And here's my thing. There's so many people who just give you the blind take, don't take a running back in the first round. And it's like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, they heard Bill Belichick say it or do it, and they've just like adopted this as something that they're going to believe until the end of time. But here's the situation. Like, there was a window where the NFL had devalued running backs to the point that you could get good ones in the second and third round. And then if you use your running backs like Bill Belichick does, where you use 3-4 backs and it's situational, then yeah, sure, you can do that if you've got a great line. But, you know, to me, it's not about what round you draft the running back in, but what running back you get and which number you get off the board. So, like, no one was, like, the Penguins, or the, I don't even know which team I'm talking about, the Steelers were able to get Le'Veon Bell in the second round, right? But he was the second running back off the board. So it was only because the position had been devalued that you were able to get that kind of value in the second round. But that has changed. People realize, hey, if we're going to give somebody on our team 25 to 30 touches, if they're going to touch the ball about the second most next to Ben Roethlisberger, it'd probably be a good idea to have that guy be a halfway decent person, a halfway decent running back. So, I mean, I would like the people who think that you should never draft a running back in the first round to tell me what they thought about Benny Snell football and about James Conner and about Jalen Samuels and all the other running backs that helped contribute to the worst and one of the worst back-to-back seasons, the two worst seasons in rushing, you know?
Yeah, what are you doing football Wednesdays at 8? That's better than anything Fittipaldo ever gave us. you want to start coming on, talk about football?
Oh, I got – well, listen, guys.
You got hot takes?
I'll tell you when I can do it. Sundays at 11:30, but you got to kind of – find me in the gold lot, and I'll be more than happy to give you all of my Steelers' opinion.
With beers. Are there beers there in the gold lot on Sundays at 11:30?
There's one or two, depending.
There we go.
Is my mom there?
Yes. Does my mom go to the tailgate?
No, but she does like to watch the games, and her Steelers takes are definitely a little bit spicier. She might go
yes.
a little farther than to say that someone's not her favorite when it comes to talking football. She gets fired up about
that.
Does
my mom have a black and gold Afghan that she knitted herself, by the way?
She's got a whole wardrobe filled with black and gold stuff. She likes I got her a black and gold Venetian glass necklace when I went to Italy, and she'll wear that for good luck occasionally.
Here we go.
I feel like we need to have Mum on the show someday.
In studio, by the way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, she is vaccinated at this point, so maybe eventually down the line.
Let's go. Let's go.
That'd be great. Cook will come in. Who's this lady in the studio? Anyway, thanks a bunch. Tell Mum, give her our best. We appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Awesome, guys. Yeah, thanks so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Mike
DeFabo.
It just flatly admitting that he gets hammered in the parking lot before Steeler games. Who doesn't, though? Western Pennsylvania rite of passage.
I know.
Love it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.